My name is Darnell and I'm an addict.
Hey, Darnell.
And if I tell you I'm not nervous, I'm lying again. And I've lied before. You know, but to be honest with you, I was just asked to do this meeting, this workshop, as I got here a couple of hours ago. That's how I do this convention, this particular convention. I used to come for the whole 3 days and all that. But for the last couple of years, I just come up on Saturday, register, and do the meetings. And I saw Cliff over at the corner of my eyes, and he doesn't know. When I saw him, something told me, because I done hugged everybody else, to avoid him. I swear, something said, you know Cliff, he's service, and he's doing something over there. And you could go hug him later on. But something else told me to go ahead and greet him, man. And the first thing came out of his mouth is that he needed a speaker. And the first thing that came out of my mouth is that I'll do it. I didn't even know what the topic was. Then I asked what the topic was. And when he told me it was finding our place in the world, to be honest with you, I was tickled. You know, I'm a grateful addict, man. I'm one very grateful addict who never thought I would ever be an addict. You know, and so finding our place in the world, just now, when I met the co-speaker and the recorder, and it dawned on me throughout my recovery, people always ask me, Darnell, where are you from? And I stumbled. You know, I stumbled because I'm originally from New York, from Corona, who moved to Long Island City, who hung out in Harlem, who then hung out in Astoria, and then moved to New Jersey, who then joined the Army, and went around the world, and hit bottom in D.C., and recovered in Philly, and now I'm back. And so when you ask me where I'm from, I'm honest with you, it depends on who's asking. You know, it depends. It really, Baltimore, you know. And so finding a place in the world, that's why I was like, that's easy. But then people say, it's not easy. But it is when I've started doing some step work, man. You know, I want to, first of all, and after they asked me to do that, I went ahead and I got my clean time calculated, and it says 5,604 days. Now, there's a few years, about 10 or 15 years, I was introduced to this fellowship and to the program. And I've never, I used to see people with thousands of days and hundreds of days and weeks and 30 days, man. And I said, what is wrong with them? I could never. And then I used to say, at one time I stayed clean for a year, didn't do no principles. And I was like, what the hell did I get clean for? You know, and this is going into finding my place, man. You know, I want to go way back before I even started using, and I was just reflecting because we were sitting here, and I've done conventions before, and I've done one. The first one I did here was a beach meeting, and it was like 30 degrees, so there's two people in the meeting, and that was fine. Then the next convention was up in the Bronx, New York, and it was like thousands of people in a room. And I like to fall out, and I said I'd never want to do something big that again. And we're talking about finding our place. So when I walked in here today, and Mia just said, oh, it's only about 30 people. I was like, and then we started saying, I wish they locked the door now. You know, finding our place, man. So I was this little kid, and I remember I was in, I think, the Glee Club or something, and we were singing, and my mother was in the audience, and I mean, I might have been this tall right here, and I remember the teacher said, if you feel like you're going to pass out, just drop to your knees. And I remember, you know, and I wasn't even a lead singer or something, man, but when I saw my mother and my family out there, I remember dropping to my knees. And what I'm sharing is that feeling so out of place. And as I was growing up, and I remember not knowing who to hang out with, or how to hang out with, or who to do, or what to do, or as a little boy, and I was kind of like happy in Corona, but then we moved from bougie Corona, which is middle class, because our father left us, and the worst thing I used to do was play hooky and go to the Mets games, and you know, just real kiddie stuff I used to do. And when we moved to Queensbridge, they was doing something else. And everything I learned and was raised on principles and all that had to go. And I remember I wanted to be a, my mother wanted me to be a doctor or a dentist, and I was okay with that. I was pretty good in school. And I remember in Queensbridge, though, I had, you can't be what they call a goody-goody. You can't have A's. You can't be studious. And you couldn't talk. You had to rap. You couldn't play baseball, you had to play basketball, and I began to take on some stuff that was so foreign to me, but I had to, and one thing I always said that I would never want to be, and that's an addict, or a wino. I never wanted to be, never in my life would I be one of those people, but in Queensbridge, they smoke cigarettes, and they drink Old English beer. You know, and so I did those things, not knowing, I still didn't want to be an addict, but I didn't know that at some point I had turned my life over to something else, you know, and I had to take on this lifestyle that I was so uncomfortable with, man, and I began to hang out with people in Queensbridge. I had to get a sponsor to teach me how to roll a joint. I had to learn how to rap different ways, and I'm talking about nights and nights, man, hanging out in project hallways, man. As a matter of fact, I joined gangs. Never for the day in my life, man. I joined gangs in New York called the Young Sinners, riding subways, and I'm serious, man. And I used to pray for the night to be over with so I could get the hell out of there, man. But I didn't know that I was looking for a place, man. You know, so with all that uncomfortability, man, somehow, some way, I became an addict. It wasn't because they was doing it, but it was because I wanted to do it. First, it was because it allowed me to do things that was totally, I didn't know that being high and all that quieted that consciousness that was always telling me that I shouldn't do the stuff that I was doing, man. Robbing, gang raping, all kind of stuff that I just was, it was totally not in my place, man. But the substances allowed me to do some of that stuff, man. You know, so eventually I got hooked, man. Using was a way of life for me, man. You know, for many years, man. And I'm going to tell you, as I started to stop, you know, I started getting arrested. And, you know, my life was just totally upside down, man. And I want to just go straight forward to my last couple of days of using, man. And life was not nothing that I wanted, man. All I wanted was out. You know, I remember going to searching quarters 3 o'clock in the morning, knowing that the only thing you could do is either get beat or get killed, and praying that if somebody beat me or shoot me, that they would shoot me in the middle of the head and it would just be over right away, man. You know, I remember the last day using, having chest pains and something saying, "Do you really want to die?" And the answer was yes. But I was too afraid, man. I knew coming in here before that if I stayed clean, that I had to do something else. If I stopped using, I would have to deal with the same shit. Excuse me. I would have to deal with the same stuff that I dealt with before I was using. I would have to deal with finding my place in the world, man. I had a problem with relationships, man. And I'm not talking about intimate relationships with anybody and everybody, man. I remember some of the last days in that rooming house in Capitol Hill when I used to just have to put on such a facade, man, that I got so tired of, I didn't know who I wanted to be, man. I would put on a suit and tie, man, because I had to go boost and I had to go work these temp jobs, and then I would put on some hip clothes and all that because I had to go cop and serve some quarters. And I remember, man, I was just so sick and tired. And even in coming into the program, I remember when I called Detox, and I remember they're going to ask you, Darnell, what are you going to do different? I was so sick and I don't know, man. I was just so sick and tired of being somebody for somebody else, man. And I didn't know that I was being primed for a life of recovery, man. You know, so when I stopped using, I embarked upon a journey of the steps, and I found out that using was just the tip of the problem, man. I began to recover, man. And I'm going to tell you, man, my life is so much simpler today, man. You know, I'm going to share a couple of experiences, man, that have to do with Narcotics Anonymous, but then again, it don't. It's talking about finding our place in the world, man. You know, and as I got clean, man, there was things that I really didn't know where step work was going to take me. I didn't even know how deep my issues were until I started doing step work, especially that fourth step, man. That fourth step told me how insecure I was. That fourth step even told me some of the stuff I could tell you today is that I never believed in Darnell. I never was Darnell. I never was a person. Who I was depended on where I was. You know, and as I embarked upon the journey of the steps, I began to get a feeling of who Darnell is and what Darnell believes in and what Darnell likes, you know. And early experience, man, was with my mother. I was doing, I did a ninth step with her, and I went up to New York for something. I can't remember. I go to New York frequently, and I didn't know how to relate with my mother. And I would drive for 4 hours, and it's usually late at night, and I would get to New York 2-3 o'clock in the morning. First thing I want to do is go to a meeting in the village or something, but she would ask me to go shopping at Pathmark, you know. And I remember I didn't want to go shopping. I didn't drive 4 hours. It must have been around the holiday to go shopping, and I just didn't want to. And for the first time in my life, I told my mother no. And what she said was, she said, okay, well, maybe tomorrow. And what I'm sharing with you, man, that I couldn't believe that I said no to my mother. And that, you know, I used to think that I used to do stuff for my mother out of anger, rage, and, you know, and all I had to do was say no. I never knew that I could just say no to somebody like my mother, and it was okay, you know, it would be okay. We got the best relationship today, man, you know, and that's just one relationship, man. I want to share my job. I'm having all these issues and all that, but things are getting better. I have a job where I have to work with, I'm an EMT. We have to do 12 hours in a truck compartment, and we have to kind of like get along. Okay, and it's not easy some nights, you know. And so for the last few years, what I do, I've embarked upon a journey of steps. I take these steps on my job with me. I have a method where I just pray. I don't ask who I'm working with anymore most of the times. I just pray. But the other night I was working up in Baltimore, which I work in D.C. But anyway, so I just happened to see somebody's name on the schedule who I might be working with. And I talked to the supervisor up in Baltimore. I didn't know Patrick was back and all that. She said, oh, this is somebody else. This, it ended up being somebody else. And out of her helping me, supposedly helping, she said, but he's an A-type, you know, and that's the type you don't want to work with, you know. But the funny thing about it is, so for 2 days, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to work with this A type of person and pray. And I'm going to tell you, yesterday I went to work, man. Still don't know who this guy is, man. And I do what I do on the job, on my other main job, man. I pray just before I walk through that gate, man. And I began to do my work, and the new guy shows up. And normally what I would do is I would have him compartmentalized. I already know how I'm going to treat him. I'm going to treat him like the A type person, you know. But that didn't happen, man. For some, you know, because I prayed, I was able to allow him to be whoever the hell he was, man. And I'm gonna tell you, through the night, you know, we worked I learned my assets is I'm a caring person, man. I love my job, man, and I love for my coworkers to do their job in a compassionate manner, man. And this guy, man, we had this old lady, man, and she was had a stroke and all this stuff, man. And what we do is we take them to a higher level of care and all that, and it's a pretty ugly situation. And sometimes when we do our job, we could just do it like they just a piece of meat on the table, but sometimes we'd be compassionate, and that's what I love about my job. And so when I saw my partner, how he handled this person, man, I was like, you know, I didn't know I was trans. I was observing him, man. And through the night, the same thing happened with other patients, man. And I was able to pull him to the side at some point in the night, and I would let him know that I like the way you work, man. I said, you're a caring person. And what I was sharing with him was the same attributes that I have for myself. And I'm going to tell you, man, it's not like we had a smoke. It was one of the best working nights I've had in a long time. And what I'm sharing is that that's a part of finding my place in the world today. I used to think that finding my place meant that I had to be in one standard. I had to be in New York City at a certain corner or a certain job. It's just bottom line, I can't find my place in the world unless I find myself. And that's what I've learned in this process. When I take the time like I did to pray to my high power and help him, you know, who am I in this situation? I don't care who the other person is. Who are you in this situation? Okay? And I'm able to go through whatever situation that is, man. I can lift my head up, man. I can be who I am. And I believe the spirit just flows, man. And this guy who I was working with last night, I found out, you know, he's a spiritual person too, and we started on this conversation of, you know, principles and all. And he's not even, I don't think so, but you know, but it was like we had a meeting, man. And that's what I'm sharing is that if I'd have been the person I was a few days ago, it could have been a rough ride last night, all because of this. You know, and so. That's why I'm so glad that I had this topic today to share that. Just that one experience last night helps me to realize that finding my place, man, it just depends on who I am today, man. So I hope I help somebody. I'm going to shut it down with that. My name is Darnell. I'm an addict, and I'll keep coming back.